X-Pac 1-2-3-60. Featuring weekly news, insider commentary, and interviews with superstars, past and present, from the world of pro wrestling.
A new day is dawning for DX.
And now, your host, Sean X-Pac Wolfman.
Welcome to X-Pac 1-2-3-60, everyone, ladies and gentlemen, and whatever's in between that. Hey, how's it going, you guys?
Excellent.
Yeah, and ladies.
It's going awesome.
Because that's the thing, I've got a diverse panel here, two men and two women.
That's what we're calling it now, diverse. Yeah, diverse panel.
Yeah. So, I like it. Yeah. How was your guys' weekend? Denise, you had a lovely weekend, didn't you?
I did, actually. Basically, well, yesterday was pretty cool.
Denise Salcedo, everyone.
Yeah, yeah. Yesterday was the NBC TCA press coverage, so basically I was down there. And Stephanie, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Mark Henry, the New Day, Maurice, and The Miz were actually there talking about Raw 25.
Yeah.
And it was pretty cool. They talked about that. They talked about the Rumble. They talked about a lot of awesome stuff. And for the first time ever, I got to meet Triple H and Stephanie, which was really nice to see. You know, see them up close and, you know, say hello and whatnot. So it was a really fun moment. They had a nice little setup where you get to go and take like a little picture holding up the bow, and they make you look like you're coming down an entrance ramp. It was nice.
Cool.
That sounds so fun. Yeah. I want to do that.
Seriously.
What about you, Bill? How was your weekend?
My weekend was fine. Yeah. I wish I had known about TCA before I started reading all the things about, like, oh, hey, there's a panel happening right now. And I'm like, what?
Is that where, okay, one of my comedian friends, Jeff Dye, he saw them this weekend, must have been there as well, right?
Yeah.
Something with The Bachelorette?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I saw him tweet the picture with him and Stephanie, and he said, one day I want to announce for WWE.
I don't know if you've ever seen Jeff, any of the things he does, but Jeff Dye, comedian. D-Y-E, that's how you spell Dye. he's really, like, he's very, very handsome fella. And he's very well spoken too, and a big wrestling fan. One time, hey, real quick story about Jeff Dye. He did a stand up gig at this place called Side Splitters in Tampa, and so I went to see him, meet up with him, and after the show. So I'm driving this Mustang convertible, and we're driving down Dale Mabry Highway, one of the big major highways in Tampa, and there are these drunk assholes. Like driving like in the right lane, and they're just messing with everyone, talking shit to everyone, just really just terrorizing people. And so I don't know what I was thinking. Jeff's in the seat next to me, and I pull up next to him. I said, "Pull this effing car over right now, and I'll beat the shit out of every last one of you." And they all just looked at me and they shut up. And I looked over at Jeff, and he was scared shitless. And they all just shut up and just took off. And he's like, "Oh, that was great." I'm like, "I don't know what I'd done if they actually wanted to fight."
That'd be funny if that's a bit in his comedy act now.
I could have taken a couple of them, but there was probably like five or six of them in there. They were all drunk, talking shit. Anyways, enough about that. TK, how are you?
I'm good.
Hey, how's your training coming for you?
Oh my gosh, I ran 15 miles. It's terrible.
My heart bleeds for you.
So. But you know, it's for a good cause.
Yeah. Did I mention that we have Nick Houseman from WrestleZone coming on here shortly?
Nice.
Yeah. We're going to talk about Royal Rumble party I have coming up in Chicago.
Duffy's Bar and Grill.
Yeah, and then, well, let's leave something for Nick to talk about.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. Hopefully he has more to say than that. No, but Nick is the new, for the last, I don't know how many months now, he's been the new editor or the new head of WrestleZone.com. And he's been a really big supporter of the show. He always posts, everything we send them for the shows, and very grateful to Nick. Be talking to him shortly. What else been going on, that I can't think of right now?
Well, we talked about the 25th anniversary of Raw coming up. I know they announced Stone Cold's supposed to be there. A bunch of other people are going to show up there.
Are you one of those?
I'll be there.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Apparently they just forgot to announce me when they announced Kevin Scott and Sean and
Well, they showed all of DX, like with the tank stuff. Like mm-hmm. they showed you like the invasion of WCW. They just didn't say your name, but
they probably did Sean. That after I texted a few people and complained about it. Cried like a baby.
Well, yeah. One of the weird things to me was they announced that DX was going to be there, and it was the New Age Outlaws, Shawn Michaels, and Triple H.
Yeah, exactly. That's and yeah. Trust me. Don't think it went unnoticed.
Did they say anything to you after you texted back? Was there anything?
Yeah. I'll keep that to myself. What they said.
It's not a rib.
No, it's not a rib. It's just shit I still have to deal with from, you know, the consequences of the way I live my life for about 10 years.
Well, they announced today that Eric Bischoff's going to be there, first time on WWE television since 2007.
Yeah.
And your first time since, what, 2013 or 14 or so? When was the last time you were on?
I don't know. It wasn't that long ago,
It wasn't that long.
You know what, man? Here's the thing. Like, it didn't seem that long ago that we did the WrestleMania stuff with Sting.
Yeah.
And now it's been, what, 4 years?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. That was 31, and this year's going to be 34 or so. Mm-hmm. Crazy,
I think we're gonna take a break right now, and then we're gonna come back and we're gonna talk to Nick Houseman from WrestleZone.com. Hey, Xbox 12360 fans, I just wanted to tell you two ways that you can support the show to help it grow. First, if you've ever wanted a shout-out or surprise message for various occasions from me, all you have to do is visit celebvm.com/Sean Waltman to request a video today. Not only does it support the show, but a portion of the proceeds go to charity. Second, to visit ProWrestlingTees.com/Sean Waltman. That's the only place to grab shirts with the X-Pac 12360 logo, Wolfpack, or many other designs. If you pick up a shirt, make sure to tweet us using the hashtag X-Pac 12360. That's CelebVM.com/Sean Waltman for a personal message from me, X-Pac. And ProWrestlingTees.com/Sean Waltman for X-Pac, Wolfpack, and X-Pac 12360 gear. Thanks for supporting the show. Now let's get back to it. Welcome back to X-Pac 12360, everyone. Joining us over Skype right now from Chicago, Illinois, the Windy City. He's the, I think we call it the editor or just the, he runs WrestleZone.com now. And he's also trying to apply for a job with the Wyatt family. Nick Houseman, everyone.
Yeah.
for everyone that can't see it, Nick's rocking an awesome beard, and I just had to make a joke about it.
It's fine, man. I mean, it's like a negative 11 degrees here in Chicago some days, and so this natural scarf is really like it's a necessity here in Chicago.
Hey, you know, Nick, just want to remind you, we can see you. You can't see us, but that like I was just about ready. I said that wrong. You can't see us, but we can see you. So it's probably a good idea if you don't relieve yourself in front of the camera like I did to you.
How did I know that was like the first thing that was going to come up when I came on the show? Yeah, I saw Sean's dick. Can I say that right? I can like kind of freewheel and fancy.
Well, you can now.
Yeah.
The E word.
Okay. It's okay.
Yeah, I did. I saw his penis. He took it out and then he peed.
Doesn't that sound worse, penis?
I don't know. I'm trying to be like civil about it, right? But I mean, yeah, he took it out. He didn't know that I could see it, but yeah, he peed into a solo cup right in front of me. Very gentlemanly about it, right? There was nothing weird about it. We had that moment. That's another shot.
And then I get a text from Nick. What the F's wrong with you? And I didn't get it for like maybe 20 minutes later, and I couldn't at that time. I didn't understand what he was talking about. We figured it all out.
Sure. Well, a lot of people have seen your dick though, because you know, right? Yeah. Other things.
So, hey, Nick. We have this really cool Royal Rumble party coming up at Duffy's in Chicago. Let's talk about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've been working with Duffy's Bar and Grill in Chicago for the last 3 years. They're an official WWE blast area, meaning they actually pay to stream the pay-per-view. We have WWE's blessing. They send us posters. They send us prizes sometimes, and we've had a great time doing it. And I said to them, let's go next level with this party, guys. You know, we can fit 250 people in this sports bar. We got 60 flat screen TVs. We got ice cold suds. We got great food. What we need is we need a big name superstar hosting our awesome party. And when they said, well, who do you want? The first name that came to my mind was Sean Waltman. Sean, you are just a fun guy. People like to be around you. I know you're going to make the party great. And, you know, people will get to come out. You can get your photo taken with Sean, autographs, and everything else. And we're going to do a live podcast recording before the Rumble starts as well.
And, like, the cool thing is, well, the really fun part isn't the autograph and, you know, meet and greet part. It's the watching the show together and you know, just commenting on things and you know, just doing like a running commentary on what we think of this show.
And, you guys want to have live commentary?
I'm very interested in that.
What's that?
Now, I feel like the party, though, kind of spoiled the something for everybody. Because, like, as soon as we announced it, the first thing I heard was, like, well, if Sean's hosting this party, that means that you're probably not going to be in the Royal Rumble, right?
Yeah. yeah, that kind of did let the cat out, or put the cat in, however you want to call it.
Out the bag.
Yeah. In the bag, you take it out. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Well, the cat... Yeah. There is no cat.
Well, I think Sean probably just wanted to give his spot to Ming, which was what I'm going to just imagine.
Ming?
Yeah, Ming.
I mean, I didn't want to give it to him, but if he wanted to take it, there ain't much I can do about it.
You ain't going to say no.
Man, I watched Ming. He was at Black Label Pro recently. Shout out to Black Label Pro in Indiana. And it was Ming and the Barbarian versus Jimmy Lloyd and Nick Gage. And Nick Gage and Ming... Man, they just beat the holy hell out of each other. I think you can go over to Powerbomb, find that match. It's intense. Ming can still – I'm as terrified of Ming now, today, as I was when I was a child.
And that's the – he's just the sweetest guy you'll ever meet in your entire life.
What are you talking about? He's an animal. He said he was going to rip my heart out in the locker room. It was a very scary experience. I know what you're talking about.
Regardless. Like, yeah, I mean, you must have been a real dick to him.
Oh, the biggest of dicks. I tried to be nice to him.
Yeah. Hey, so one time, the first time I tore my ass,
yeah,
Nick was my manager. Oh. Or no, not my manager. You were my opponent's manager, Jay Bradley's.
You guys want to hear another story about some sensitive areas on Sean's body?
Sure.
Because I've got a couple of them, you know. I don't know how many of the guests come on here and just kind of talk like this about Sean's body. But, yeah.
A lot more than you'd think.
More than I would think? Well, all right. We were out at Joliet, Illinois, which is like a small suburb outside of Chicago, mostly known for the movie Blues Brothers,
thank
Joliet
you.
Jake, you know, where the prison is.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're out there in this wrestling ring behind outfield at their minor league baseball park, and I'm managing Lonesome Jay Bradley, or Jay Bradley at the time, and Sean went to do his Bronco Buster on Jay, and somebody didn't rap the bottom turnbuckle where the metal is. And yeah, he split his taint in twine. I don't really know any other way to describe it. Like, you just split that thing and it just busted open. And I remember you rolling to the outside and I looked in your face and I could tell something was horribly wrong. And you screamed at me, "I just ripped my taint in half," which was alarming. And then you told me to start kicking you. While you covered.
Yeah, but isn't there more to the story?
Well, there is the part where we get to the back.
Yeah.
I finished the match. I believe I took the boomstick lariat from Jay, and then you rolled him up. And we get to the back, and I find you face down on, like, a table, all right? Like a picnic table. And I was like, "Hey, buddy, dude, is there anything I can do for you?" And I remember you looking at me, and you go, "Yeah, man, can you hold a towel between my butt cheeks right now?" And I did not do that. I refused, but I think because I had a ride, I also just did not want to do that. But
you really did want to do it.
I didn't want to do it, man.
Yeah, you did.
I'll look but not touch. I've seen your dick. I know you've split your taint, but I did not get near either of those things.
Okay.
That's such a great story, though.
It's not a bad one, is it?
Yeah, you know, even that you didn't hold the towel, but if you would have held the towel, it would have been even better.
So did somebody else hold the towel?
I can't remember.
Who was it?
I can't remember.
Somebody did, though. Somebody came over and held the towel between your cheeks?
Yeah,
that's what fans are for.
And I ended up with 13 stitches in my ass.
Oh my god!
Yeah, and I was telling these guys that that, like, I didn't miss a match. I had matches the next week, and I wrestled Pierce, Adam Pierce, for the NWA World title wearing a diaper with the torn asshole. Mm.
That's what Cabana told me. I'm glad you confirmed that. Because, yeah, I saw Cabana like a week later, and I was like, hey, I saw you wrestled with Sean. How is he? And he's like, dude's walking around in a diaper right now. He looks ridiculous.
Yeah. So. and then one of my good friends, Mike Villalobo, shout out to him. I haven't talked to him in a while. He actually was nice enough to actually remove some of the stitches from my ass, which is like, you got to be a real good friend to do something like that, you know? Because that's intimate knowledge of a good friend. So, hey, so Nick, talk to me about hey, what are the new stories you guys are breaking today? Anything?
Actually, let's see here. I just put up some stuff before we got on the air. Your buddy Triple H and Stephanie and a whole bunch of the other guys were over at the Television Critics Association WWE panel last night, and they commented on Rich Swann's arrest, which has been getting passed around a lot. They commented on one other thing, too. But really, the big news today, the non-WWE news, is Kenny Omega, Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks, they've announced the date for their big all-in show. It's going to be September 1st. And the rumor is, and this isn't confirmed, they haven't announced it yet, but the rumor is they may be coming to Chicago to do this big 10,000-seat venue here, which if I had to pick a 10,000-seat venue in Chicago, they may want to do it at. I don't know anything, but the UIC Pavilion.
I was just thinking that. UIC Pavilion, where they had Flair Steamboat.
Exactly. Yeah, see? There you go. Historian as well. You're a pretty good wrestling guy. But yeah, UIC Pavilion here. Do you think they can do it? Do you think they'll do 10,000?
Yes. I think they can. I don't know if it'll be 10,000 paid, but I think they'll put 10,000 in that building.
I think so, too. And here's the follow-up question, then. You know, the other big word on the street here is the reason that Chicago could be enticing is maybe their buddy CM Punk would be interested in appearing on that show. And if you got CM Punk wrestling his first match since leaving WWE alongside Bullet Club, I mean, in Chicago, 10K, easy.
Easy.
I don't know. What's your feel on that, though? I mean, I know that you've been friendly with Punk in the past. I don't know if you have a vibe on if he'd have any interest in doing that.
I think he would.
Yeah?
I honestly think he would if it was a big something like that. That was a big deal. But I could be wrong.
I've been saying for a long time that I feel like the only things that would bring Punk back at this point in time would be like an ROH match against Samoa Joe or Bryan Danielson.
Yeah.
Or just something that has a chance to be a big indie thing that isn't necessarily a WWE thing.
Yeah. That he can be a part of that's going to be packed. Yeah. That he can be like, hey, yeah, I help, you know,
and
I'm the reason this thing's
full. And he missed out on almost all of the Young Bucks Kenny Omega stuff, so I can see him being super intrigued by like, hey, do you want to wrestle either Cody Rhodes or Kenny Omega in the main event of this 10,000 seat non WWE show?
Hey, is that Chicago, like, you know where they used to have the Bulls games before the United Center? Is that still a thing? Is it still standing even?
I don't think so. I think that building got taken down and the United Center got put up. Because I know we still have, maybe, I don't know. I'm not a big basketball guy, so I actually probably shouldn't answer this question.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Yeah, well, the thing is I'm thinking, you know, another building besides UIC, but that's probably the one I would go with.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it makes the most sense. I mean, you know, you got the Aragon that maybe you could do it and fudge some things around. I mean, there's a couple places I thought about, but UIC Pavilion kind of made the most sense. And, you know, also, The next step in this is, like, I've already seen buzz. I think I saw it on PW Insider this morning that, you know, all right, let's say Punk does do it. Let's say they do 10,000 tickets. The show is happening September 1st. Daniel Bryan's contract with WWE, from what I glean from everything, comes up the end of September. And that could open up the door for a follow-up show where you could have, theoretically, Daniel Bryan in the main event and follow up CM Punk with the Daniel Bryan show. What is that? How do you gauge that one? Do you think that one's got any merit to it?
You mean as far as actually being a possibility?
Yeah, I mean, do you think that Brian is like so gung-ho to get out and get wrestling that he would entertain an idea like that and be a part of something like this?
I honestly do, man. I really do.
You're getting wrestling fans very excited right now, which is good. That's what I came on here to do, is get you to verify all of these crazy ideas that people have
right now. It's just that I know how I would feel if I was him.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, yeah,
totally.
Well, that was actually one of the other things that they talked about at the TCA. Somebody actually asked Triple H about the Daniel Bryan situation and if they, what they would do to have him stay in the company if he wasn't cleared to wrestle. And basically what he said along the lines was, you know, if he's not, you know, if they don't medically obviously clear him that he's safe to go into the ring, then they don't see a reason why to put him into the ring. And as other people know, and it's for the people that have seen Daniel Bryan work, they know that, you know, wrestling is his life and wrestling is everything. So if maybe that door gets shut for him, he might be looking to go into other doors. So I think that's something that, you know, can possibly happen in the future.
Sean, what is the vibe right now in WWE about all these new opportunities out there right now? I mean, we're openly talking about, you know, the SmackDown Live general manager, a central figure on WWE television. We're talking about where he's going to be in 9 months right now, and it doesn't sound like WWE. And I mean, right now I'm looking at the other headline here, Jericho, you know, him and Naito, he's staying around New Japan, maybe even Okada match in the horizon as well. Doesn't sound like he's going to be in the WWE mix. Like, what's the vibe there right now about all these guys getting these real chances outside of the company right now and taking them?
I think that, you know, lately, and this is really a mentality that Hunter is trying to push, is, you know, they're just trying to be more open about those things as far as, like, okay. I mean, I'll give you an example, Nick, just my personal, like, experience with it most recently, like the other day. A major, I don't know if you want to call it company or, you know, one of their quote unquote competitors in the industry reached out to me and asked me to be a part of their promotion coming up soon. I'm not going to mention the name, but I reached, so I asked Hunter and, you know, how he felt about it. And he was like, well, what do you mean? Like, do you want my opinion or do you want to know if you'd have heat? And I'm like, well, both. And he goes, absolutely no heat whatsoever. And, you know, and he goes, just, you know, be careful what you sign, basically.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, like, the WWE is really kind of in a league of its own right now. It doesn't seem like they're any kind of cultural or financial situation where they have to worry about losing top spot right now. I think it is better and more advantageous to not try to fight what's going on right now. I mean, the more excited wrestling fans are about wrestling, I can't really see WWE not capitalizing on that kind of momentum. And I mean, it's certainly a healthy mix of it over on WrestleZone every day. You know, another thing that kind of breached the aisle I'll bring up here as far as like news that happened today, because it was a pretty good day for news. Matt Hardy and Ed Nordholm buried the hatchet. Did you see that?
I heard about that. Yeah.
Dude, yeah. Hardy put out a tweet.
Like, I knew that a couple weeks back when I saw Matt. I guess I just forgot to mention it, probably because he probably didn't want me to.
That is very, I don't say a lot of things I hear. I was surprised that they did it in such a heavy-handed way. Because, I mean, even just a couple weeks ago, I remember Rebby still kind of laying it in on them and the Owl. So it caught me off guard to see it. But I'm really happy. I think that this whole fight, you know, that kind of negativity where fans become more interested in what's happening behind the curtain and in the ring, I don't really know that it translates to better business for anybody. I mean, it's certainly good for me and, you know, the click business of trying to get people to tune in and find news. But I don't know that helps the wrestling business. So I was happy to see them be able to kind of bury this and move into 2018, because Impact right now, you got Cyrus and a couple other guys moving into power over at Impact. It sounds like Impact could even be rallying here in 2018 and turning into a pretty decent product again.
I really, really hope so. I really think there's room for all of this and more. You know, I really do.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And then, of course, let's see here. Last thing, your buddy Hunter met with Ronda Rousey last night. Did he call you? Did he tell you if she's coming in? Is she going to be in the Rumble?
He mentioned one way or another, but I'm not going to tell you.
You can't say that.
No, he didn't. I'm lying. Hey, usually, like, when somebody hits me up on Twitter and they say, your buddy, Hunter, I block them on Twitter, actually, by the way.
Sorry. I won't say it again, Sean. I'm very sorry.
Oh, yeah. I can tell. Jay, what's up with Jay? Didn't you mention to me earlier something about Jay White?
Yeah, Switchblade Jay White has joined the Australian New Japan Tour that's going to be happening next month. That was exclusive we got for our New Japan Pro Wednesday column that we do every Wednesday on WrestleZone.com. That's written by Ross Berman. And yeah, I don't know if you know much about Jay, if you wrestle Jay or work with Jay.
I've given him some pointers here and there.
I'm a big Switchblade Jay White fan, and it was really cool getting to see him be that guy to turn down the Bullet Club shirt and lay out Omega. And in that flash of a moment, he went from being like a good wrestler to like a really great. I thought it really was in the glimpse of an eye. I saw a meaningful moment happen there where I thought he elevated his stock. I don't know if you saw that.
He got made like DDP with the NWO, huh?
Yeah. Oh, he absolutely. Great comparison. Yeah, nice. Totally.
Absolutely. That's a perfect comparison. It's exactly what they did.
Yeah. Yeah, nice. It is.
Good for Jay, man. Now if he could just grow a nice beard like you have. I can tell he's trying, though.
We were talking the other day, though. It's interesting they announced him for the Australia tour, right? It's a big announcement for them. But I know we were chatting the other day kind of about the land rush that's going on down in Australia right now.
Yes.
You were just there, and that is a super hot market right now that hasn't been completely oversaturated.
Oh, and it's about to. Trust me, it's about to be strip mined. Everybody and their brother is going to go over there and try to take whatever they can. It'll be good for a few years, and then it's going to take a few, it's just going to be like when you need to rotate crops.
Sure.
Because you just overly, like, harvest the same, grow crops on the same soil and there's no more nutrients left in the soil. So that's what's going to happen there. But right now, it's amazing.
You and Daniel Bryan, you should open a farm. You guys would be great farmers.
Hey, Daniel Bryan and I, my first time, actually my only other time in Australia, in Perth, Australia, I wrestled Daniel Bryan in a singles match. It was really good.
Yeah.
He said it was the first time anybody ever showed him how to fight from underneath, work to people. He'd have to explain it to you. But anyways, he enjoyed it a lot, and so did I. And he really helped me a lot in that match because I was working on one leg. I still have two legs, but I just tore my ACL about a week before. So I was hobbling around trying to, anyways, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada.
Oh, this is good. This is good podcast right here. This is good. We're there. We're in the moment. Yeah. You're with Daniel Bryan. You're limping around.
Yeah.
Mickey's in the corner, and he's like, come on, Sean, you got to rally.
And then they had me beat him. And probably should have been the other way around, actually.
No, disagree.
No.
Right call. Right man went over.
Yeah, you're right, because I'm much better than he ever was.
That's correct. That's the truth. I did I don't know if you want me to bring this up or not, but you showed up in my rumor mill in the last 24 hours over on WrestleZone.
Oh yeah, and what?
Well, there's word that you're going to be at Raw 25th, but I have not seen that verified or confirmed anywhere online.
It's been confirmed.
Yes, I am going to be there. But I was explaining to everyone before we brought you on, I kind of explained to them, I wasn't real happy with their commercial that, they advertise everyone but me to be on there. I mean, everyone of my friends but me, everyone that I...
See, I was thinking about it, Sean, and how you weren't in that promo package and all that. And you know what I think it is? I think that they were like, we need one last big name for the go-home week next week.
Damn right, Nick. That's exactly what it is. What was I thinking?
I think next week they're going to have the top five Sean Waltman Raw moments because you're in two or three of them already. But, we could just slide a couple more in there.
That's
right?
It, man. Here I am getting pissed off over nothing. And that was it the whole time.
They're going to bring Kid Rock in to do the X Factor theme song. Was that Kid Rock or who was that?
It was Uncle Cracker.
Uncle Cracker.
Uncle Cracker.
Sorry, he's a princess. Kid Rock's a princess, Uncle Cracker. Yeah. That's right.
More likable of the two crackers.
Yeah.
You say that.
Oh wow! Yeah, I'm not afraid to take these honkies down a peg.
Did you really say honkies?
Hey,
yeah.
Oh yeah. So, anyways,
are you still friendly with Kid Rock or no?
I haven't talked to him in a long time, man. It's been since not long after Joe C passed.
Yeah. Have you opened up on the show about your relationship with Joe C or no? I don't check. I don't know.
Well, Joe, you know, Joey was a huge wrestling fan, and you know, and he always came around, and we tried to get him a job, and you know, like that was what he was ready to quit the gig with Kid Rock to go do that, and I was like, don't you dare, like that, like that's your bread and butter, like do this, but like always keep that. You know?
What?
Yeah, and they ended up not signing him because of his health issues, and I think that really, like, broke his heart, man.
So wait, he had a tryout for WWE, or, like, there were actual conversations about making Joe C a wrestler for WWE?
Not a wrestler, like a manager figure, you know, like just a personality.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, you guys had the oddities and stuff. I mean, he just flipped, you know, fit right in there.
Why you gotta throw him in with the oddities?
It's, you know, I mean, look, dude, it's, you know, the wolf woman, you got, you know, whatever Golga was. Kurgan was just tall but African.
Hey, let's talk about Kurgan for a second. How freaking ugly was he back then, and how handsome is he, relatively speaking, compared to then now?
He's got work done, man. He did 300, and then he took that 300 grand and got some teeth work done. You know?
Talk about what an awesome guy that guy was. Really cool. I thought they could have done way more with Kurgan.
Well, I mean, he kind of reminds me of, like, Khali, where it was like, all right, very intimidating, but, I mean, what more would you have done with Kurgan, I guess, is what I'm wondering.
Well, he's sort of like a mobile Khali, right?
Yeah, he's like freakish like that, but I wouldn't mention him in the same sentence as Khali as far as skill set.
Really? I guess I'd have to go. I mean, I was like, whatever, 14 when I was watching Kurgan, so I'd have to go back and rewatch it.
Because Kurgan came in on the Truth Commission, which is a dud. And then you put him in the Oddities, which was fun for a while, but then they didn't do anything with him after the Oddities broke up. Like, you could have, instead of putting him in all these different factions where he's just a freak show sideshow.
Yeah. How did we start talking about Kurgan?
I brought him up.
Well, it's weird because, like, Don Callis is in charge now at Impact, right? Yeah. Or he has some sway. And Don Callis was, of course, Cyrus on screen and the leader of the Resistance? What were they called?
Yeah.
The Truth Commission.
Truth Commission. I don't know. Maybe Kurgan and Impact, right?
Speaking we can bring of that Don Callis, I never.
2018.
He had such scorching heat when he was in WWE, and I could never figure out why. I couldn't. I guess he rubbed somebody the wrong way, but he never rubbed me the wrong way. I don't get it.
I never met him. It sounds like what they're doing right now over an Impact, though. I mean. They're got a lot of people excited. Tonight, as we're recording this, is the first night of six nights that they have of TV tapings. And the other news two things came out of this Impact. It was a busy day for news. They got rid of the six-sided ring.
Yeah.
They're now back to the four-sided ring. Good call?
I think so.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I hate the six-sided ring.
Yeah, try standing on the top rope in a six-sided ring, and you'd hate it even more.
It's just too much space in the middle for me. Yeah. I don't know. I don't like it. Anyway, that's gone. They're going to four-sided, and they haven't officially put out a press release or anything announcing this yet, but one side of the ring has the Twitch logo on it, and I would imagine that there's going to be some kind of Twitch relationship coming up here soon. I don't think that anything in their Pop TV deal would preclude them from doing anything with Twitch. I think they're just kind of trading the space for advertising from best I gather.
Huh. I think I got a little Twitch on something. Yeah, I'm not. How do you think that deal is? Speaking of Twitch, with House of Hardcore, they're doing big numbers on there, right?
Yeah, I was actually the ring announcer for House of Hardcore Milwaukee, which was in December, and they did over 500,000 live views. I don't know if that translates to 500,000 people, but 500,000 live views for a 3-hour show, which is incredible. I mean, that's on par, if not above, what Impact Wrestling does every week, but they did it via Twitch.
I'm guessing that it translates to at least 500,000 people.
Oh, well, and that was just for the live feed. I have no idea how many times it's been viewed in the archives, which I'm sure is millions at this point.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. I mean, is it a good deal? I don't really know what the deal is, right? I mean, it kind of in some ways reminds me, and I don't really know the deal, but it reminds me in some ways of what Flow Slam wanted to do initially, which was find quality independent promotions, give them a little bit more of a budget, hope for a better product, and be able to sell that back and take a bigger cut. Yeah. I have to think that's what Twitch is doing here, but they seem that like there's a much better infrastructure than what FlowSlam has.
Can you tell by watching, or have you, if you've watched, if there's any ads on the show?
I'm not like as active with, I don't really video game, and I know that's like what Twitch is mostly for. So I would imagine there's some level of advertising. Yeah. I couldn't give you an educated answer though. Mm.
I watched Triple Mania on Twitch. I don't remember if they had like a break in the, or any sort of commercials during the show. So I'm literally trying to rack my brain, trying to remember.
If you're a big enough partner on Twitch, you can put commercial breaks whenever you want. But if enough people pay for your space on Twitch, then you don't need it. So there's sort of a fine line where if you're a big enough creator, you have the option to, and those commercials, all of that funding goes directly to you, but it's not.
Do you have to sell your own commercials, or
no.
Do they have?
They have a stockpile of commercials of their products, but all of the anything that you get from playing those commercials goes to you instead of the network.
Huh. Interesting. They got to take some of it.
Some of it, but that's part of the partner agreement. Yeah. But it's on a case by case basis, a user by user basis.
Interesting.
If you're an independent wrestling promoter, go back, listen to that last 60 seconds, take notes, and then continue with the podcast right now. hey, I wanted to ask you, Sean, about the Mixed Match Challenge, which is, I think, a very interesting thing. Do you like the Mixed Match Challenge?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
You don't sound like enthused about the Mixed Match Challenge.
I mean, is it going to be guys and is it going to be, are the women and the men going to be in the ring with each other? How is that going to work? Like, is there going to be guy on girl action?
That sounded gross. You shouldn't say it like that. That's not the way to say it. People will get upset.
Well, I mean, it's probably better if we keep it girl on girl, right?
That's not, I don't know. I'm twisting this. I think that you have to tag out. I think that you got to tag and it's ladies versus ladies and men versus men. I can't imagine you'd get like Braun Strowman laying out Alicia Fox. I don't imagine that happening.
Hmm. All right.
Why not? We had Ellsworth versus Carmella.
Did we?
Yep.
Yeah.
Did Ellsworth?
No, Becky Lynch.
Yeah, but did he fight back?
Yeah, no, they had a match. Yeah.
Did he hit her?
They had a match together.
Yeah. He only...
I don't know that he hit her. I think they did a lot of grappling and submission work.
Huh. Interesting.
I don't know. I think in the age that we're in right now, it would be good to see. I would obviously the difference, but it would be good to see that no matter who you are, you're in the ring, if you're male or female, and you'd fight. So, I mean, I don't think it should be, okay, well, both girls come in the ring now, and now both guys, I think it takes away from, you know, what it's supposed to be.
But, and I do think that... that it's getting a lot of attention and people are pretty excited about it, seems like.
Oh, dude. I mean, I really love the pairings that are rolling out. I don't know how you guys feel about them, but like I've enjoyed every single vignette where the pairings have been revealed. I think they're just fun. And there's kind of this like weird high school like dating story. Like it also feels like people are coupling up before a big dance or something like that.
I just saw Sami Zayn and Becky Lynch thing where he was wearing the disguise.
Mm-hmm.
He looked like you in the disguise.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah, I had one of them beard masks on.
That was funny.
Good.
Nick's never going to come back on my show again.
Fine. It's fine. You can say whatever you want. You're just jealous because, like, I do have a very healthy beard and folks can see me right now on the camera and everything like that. But there is years of questionable facial hair recorded in the WWE archives from you, Sean.
I know.
And I feel like I could go back and identify 1,000 wispy mustaches pretty quickly.
I've been on record saying this, like, I couldn't grow a proper beard until I got on steroids. Anabolic steroids.
Proper steroids.
Yeah. Steroids. Actually, not like steroids. It was just testosterone.
No, not Winstrol or...
No, none of that. No. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Just some tea.
Uh-huh. Jeez. All right. Well, how are we doing here?
Great.
This is pretty good stuff so far, right?
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a laundry list of wrestling topics here. I mean, can I put over real quick something we're doing here? Booker T,
please.
You like Booker T, right?
Yes, and you were telling me, please tell everyone.
All right. So Booker T runs the Reality of Wrestling, which is an amazing wrestling promotion down in Houston, Texas. And I am also from the Houston area. I'm friends with one of the people that works with him, Brad Gilmore, who co-hosts Heated Conversation. We've been talking the past couple weeks, and I'm very happy to announce that in 2018, every Thursday night, live on our Facebook page, WrestleZone's Facebook page, Booker T is live streaming from the Reality of Wrestling Training Center, where he's going to be showing people how he showing the fans how he trains wrestlers, introducing them to wrestlers, answering questions Q&A style. But more or less, Booker T is coming to WrestleZone in 2018, and I'm just a huge Booker fan in general. I know that you are also a big Booker T fan, are you not?
I am, Nick, and I truly believe, and I tell them this every time I see him, that I call him the future mayor of Houston, Texas, because I really believe when he runs, he's going to win.
I think so, too. Well, and it's interesting because I was actually interviewing Brad for something that's going to drop on WrestleZone tomorrow, but he was telling me that because of some screwy lawsuit against the mayor, the election may be bumped up. So it was supposed to happen next year. It may now happen in late 2018. And if that's true, since Booker decided to declare so early and he's so well known, I actually think he is unusually well situated to win the mayoral race in Houston, Texas.
Oh, for sure. And awesome. Just, would you say something?
That would be awesome.
Yeah, he's, and I mean, just Booker's story, his life story, man. Like, I really, really admire him, man, as a father and just a human being in general. Yeah. And I mean, obviously, he's excellent. Excellent professional wrestler. Like, you know, that goes without saying.
Well, and with Booker, I kind of feel like he would – I think he should get, like, one more run. I mean, I think that a 4 or 5 month program, not exactly like what Goldberg did, but kind of in that same time frame, I think Booker would be great if he had one more run and got to come back. I think people would be very excited about that, actually.
I think so, too. And the thing about Booker is he keeps himself in fairly good condition. Like, he doesn't – like, he's still, like – it would probably take him a month to get in shape less.
Dude, Brad was on – when I was talking to Brad yesterday, he said that Booker's grandfather lived to be 105 years old. Oh, wow. Did you know that?
No. Wow.
He probably looked like he was 65.
And that's back in the days when medicine has come a long way since then, so –
yeah, his grandfather was born like 1887 or something like that. He like passed away in the 90s, I'm told. But Jesus. Booker has like the genes to live for a very long time. And
I think he's just
aging slowly.
I was just thinking about, God, can you imagine the things Booker's grandfather saw in his lifetime? Unfortunately.
Hard not to think about it. God. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it is. It's rough. I mean, I'm what they call an old millennial. That's like my official wherever I've been slotted on the spectrum because I'm 32. So
autism spectrum.
I'm a 32. Definitely 32 on the spectrum. Definitely Wapner. I'm right at that point where I was a part of that generation where we always had some kind of higher level technology from the early days, right? Man, if you were like 60 years before that, I can't even like fathom the realizations that like came along every decade as new stuff was like rolling out. You know, that would have been mind blowing.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even want to get into it. It's just insane.
Well, you're talking about Booker T having another run. Who would you like to see him go up against?
That's a really good question, and I would like to see it be some kind of a blood feud. I'd like it to be like some kind of young upstart that disrespects him, you know, and he makes it personal with Booker T. I don't really know the exact name. I mean, Samoa Joe is kind of somebody I could maybe envision, you know, pushing Booker, and you know, he's young in the sense that he hasn't been on WWE TV for an elongated period of time, so he's newer to the crowd, and I think that he'd be somebody that would push Booker. I don't know what you think about that, Sean.
Maybe, yeah. I was just thinking about this. Maybe, hey, isn't Elias one of Booker's students?
Oh, man, Elias and Booker would be great. Yeah. And, yeah, I think he did train at ROW. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I always thought Elias, like, when he first brought him up, and, like, you know, I first started seeing that, I wasn't a fan of the whole vagabond, like, sing, you know, playing the song in the middle of the ring gimmick. But right. I'm a believer now. Like, I... I'm on board with that.
You're walking with Elias.
Yeah, I ain't afraid. I'll walk with him. I'll jump on a bandwagon. He still has a ways to go in the ring, but like he's getting there. He's gonna be really good.
He looks like an action figure.
Yeah.
Like every time I look at him, I'm like, wow, somebody opened a box and out came Elias. I mean, the dude looks like he's made of like action figure plastic and physique.
Yeah.
Great beard too.
Yeah. Not as nice as yours, but you know.
Sean, nobody has as nice a beard as I have. And I'm comfortable saying that. I'm comfortable in my beard. I'm a proud beardman.
Do you hide anything in that beard, Nick? Like, do you have anything in there right now you can show us?
Just my secrets.
No spiders.
There they are. No, I
just more stories about Sean's butthole.
Yeah.
You want more taint stories? I mean, he ripped it again, but I wasn't there for that one. No, I don't keep things in my beard, but I will say that an unfortunate, inordinate amount of the time, most of what I'm eating will wind up in my beard. And my girlfriend has to, like, casually get rid of it now before anyone else notices.
Okay. But Liz, your girlfriend's name is Liz, and she's absolutely gorgeous. And she apparently loves the beard, doesn't she, Nick?
She loves the beard. She loves the beard.
Then you keep the beard, Nick.
Yeah. I mean, she is. She's ridiculously gorgeous. She's very, very hot. And so if she wants me to have the beard, I keep the beard. That's just how it is. So.
Well.
She's listening in the other room right now, by the way. She's probably loving this. She likes it when I talk about how pretty she is on the podcast.
Yeah, she should. And you should do that.
I have no problems. She's beautiful. I love her.
What were you going to say,
I'm
Jimbo?
Curious, because you're such a huge wrestling fan and you always put out wrestling news. Is there any stories you've put out that wrestlers have come to you and been like, what the hell are you doing? And you have to be like, hey, man, this is my job. Or like, oh, well, you're right. Let me put a different spin on it. Or any situations like that that you've come into?
No, not really. I don't want to reveal the name because I like this person and I've met them and they are not a crazy person, but there was a wrestler, or I'll say that it wasn't a wrestler. It was a WWE producer, I think, at the time, who had been released by the company. And I don't know how they got my number, right? But they called me and told me to not talk about it anymore. And they were very, very angry about it. And I didn't even break the story. I was like aggregating it and running it from another source. And I didn't change it, but I did stop talking about the story because I was genuinely a little put off by the way that they had approached me over the phone.
Interesting. How long ago was that?
It was like 2 years ago.
Okay. We'll figure out who it was.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'll let everybody out there guess. You can shoot me your guesses. Yeah. I don't want to name names in this situation, but some of that stuff does happen. I mean, but honestly, everybody in wrestling, it's not like politics, right? Because like in politics, you know, you talk about somebody said this or deleted that or bleached this or whatever. It's like a lot of real world repercussions for that. Most wrestlers are just kind of happy. You're talking about them, keeping them in the entertainment spectrum, you know, keeping people buzzing about them. I don't really get a whole lot of flack. I don't try to run a lot of risque or trashy stuff on the site. More responses to wrestlers commenting on those stories than the stories themselves is what I like to do. Mm-hmm. That's about the closest I can come. I will say that sometimes I've written headlines that I knew were going to probably upset people and second guess them. Infamously, can I use the F word on this show?
Yes, go ahead. Okay.
So I used to co-host Brett the Hitman Hart's podcast, right? The Sharpshooter podcast.
Yeah.
And Brett is super fucking cool. I love Brett. Brett has been awesome to me. And in one of the episodes, we were talking about the WWE video games. And I'll never forget it. It was like a really softball question. I was like, hey, Brett, you've been in video games. What do you think about video games? And he starts to talk about how he went to one of the 2K parties. And he got there and he's playing the game and they're showing him the game. And then they go to the screen where you could choose your wrestler, and he notices that your buddy, Triple H, right, he's a 98, right? And Brett's like a 90, like a 95, right?
Oh, that's all it took.
And Brett's like, I grabbed one of the people that worked there, and I'm like, this guy couldn't lace my fucking boots, right? Why is he rated higher than me? And I was like, well, that's the headline, right?
Yeah.
That Bret Hart says Triple H couldn't lace his fucking boots, right? That's the headline. Yeah. I have to run that because it's all anyone's going to talk about after I release this anyway, right? So yeah. Confront it. That one. I don't know how Hunter felt about that one.
I actually asked Paul about that.
Oh, please tell me how he felt about
that. He wasn't really concerned one way or another. He honestly said, like, you know, I'm not really concerned what he thinks about my work.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah. But that soundbite combined with Brett going on like two other podcasts around the same time and talking about how Seth Rollins is an unsafe worker, like that pretty much directly led to Brett like retiring from podcasting.
Well, I mean, because like, yeah, I remember he was like, people get this impression that I'm bitter and I'm not, yeah. But like it's, you know, and I love Brett, like people know, like, and you know, but it's easy to think that about Brett sometimes.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is like, I think if Brett had had a better deal, I think honestly, if we'd have just found a way to pay Brett more, he'd have kept doing the podcast. I think he enjoyed the podcast. I mean, there's nothing stopping him from saying those ideas and stuff. It did just kind of get to a point though where it was like, all right, you're saying a lot of stuff here, Brett. I mean, if we were making more money, it would maybe justify it, but we've maybe reached a logical conclusion for the time being. But I wouldn't count out Brett coming back and maybe doing something. I'll say that. I know that he's been dealing with some kind of medical issue where he had
his hand, man, his wrist. He sent me pictures of it. It was crazy looking. I think I showed you guys, right?
Yeah,
insane. Yeah, he's actually suing the doctor that did the first surgery.
Yeah, I know. I read the report. We ran it, and I was just, you know, I know that he's dealing with that. And when I saw when the surgery happened and all that, it was like kind of like right after we had finished the podcast up. So I don't know what all played into it, but I know he likes talking. I know he likes people hearing his opinions, and he's certainly got some strong ones. I hope he does come back down the road. I wouldn't count him out podcasting.
And here's the thing. Like, when I talk to Brett and we start, you know, telling old story, it's always happy stories that, you know, that we laugh about. Like, when I saw him in the San Francisco area a couple months ago, oh, my God, we had the best time just standing outside. And, like, me and him and his son and his wife and I forget who was with me, but we must have stood outside for an hour and a half just, you know, catching up. And some of those stories, Nick, we told were the stories we've told a million times.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, just reminding each other and bringing them back up. And, you know,
Brett,
it was really
Brett,
cool.
Brett, you know, I think it's a heart trait, to kind of act, you know, like you're always very kind of stoic, right, and emotional because you want to have a kind of a strength about you, you know, when you present yourself. Harry's got it. Even Teddy's kind of got that thing to him. Natty as well. But with Brett, when you do get the guard dropped, is like the goofiest son of a bitch you'll ever fucking meet in your entire life. Brett is just like he is. He's just a goofy dude. I watch him like he did this video on Facebook like a little while back where he was just watching himself on The Simpsons and something like that. It was, I don't know. He's a goofy guy.
Yeah. He was so happy when he got to be on The Simpsons. That's one of the highlights of his life.
Awesome. Well, and it was weird because we did talk about it on the podcast too, so this is not like a new story. But when they cast him, they didn't know he was Brett the Hitman Hart. They just were casting a wrestler.
Yeah.
And so found Brett and they put him on the show. And it was like after word got out, that's when they changed him to be Brett Hart in the show. So it almost didn't even happen.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Wow. Hey, did he ever talk about when he used to draw on the chalkboards?
What? Who? Wait, Bart
Brett.
Simpson?
No, Brett. So,
oh, no.
Yeah, so when, like, so we get, like, you know, like the gossip in the locker room and all that, like, Brett would draw a cartoon related to whatever the current gossip was, and a lot of it was, like, stuff that ended up being scandalous. So, like, they actually brought him in, he had to testify or do, some kind of, No, you know when they interview you, like, God, why am I having this brain fart?
When they interrogate you, deposition.
Yeah, when you get deposed. Yeah, about that, like, because it was some pretty interesting stuff he'd draw on the chalkboards. We'd get there, yeah.
I know in his book he talks about drawing like Brian Knobs, like eating a bunch of dicks or something, and then Brian Knobs goes back and writes all his brother's names on all the dicks, or something. And it was just like an ongoing thing that every time they went into like a locker room, the cartoon would be drawn.
And Brett would just, he would just say, I don't make the news, I just report it.
It was always so weird, like, because, you know, Brett's really, like I say, laid back, really cool guy. But then, like, occasionally you'd bring up a name, right? And it would just resonate with him,
yep.
Right? You could tell the guard would go immediately right back up. Like, you brought up Hogan, you knew whatever it was going to be stiff.
Yeah.
The only person he ever said we couldn't bring onto the podcast was Eric Bischoff, believe it or not. He did not. He hates Eric. He hates Eric so much. I was
that
a little surprised
bumps me
by
up,
that.
Man, because, like, you know where I am, Nick, at this point in my life. I think people know that that I just think it's so sad and it's a shame when people are holding grudges like that still.
Yeah.
It can't be that big of a deal, man. Trust me.
I don't really know exactly. I mean, I have ideas, I guess, kind of about situations that could have led to, you know, some animosity there. But by and large, it doesn't sound personal. It sounds business, right?
If nobody's family member got hurt or anything along those lines, trust me, it's not that big a deal and it's not worth carrying around with you. It's just not, man.
Well, it was just interesting because, of course, the day after I ended Brett's podcast, I announced I was doing one with Eric, and I was like, "Oh, the world we live in, right? What a hilarious place!"
So, well, is there anything else we want to touch on before we go, Nick? Anyone? Anyone? Bueller?
I just tell us more about this Duffy's Bar and Grill situation. Yeah. And you said that they work with the WWE. How can other restaurants become part of that same situation where they could have the pay-per-views and WWE sending them the posters and whatnot?
It's a great question. It's not easy. You have to have – and I will lay this out, and I encourage you, if you are a big wrestling fan and you want to launch a WWE blast area in your hometown, you have to find a bar that actually shows the WWE pay-per-views. And in Chicago, I think it was the Comcast service that was showing the pay-per-views. But a lot of pay-per-view providers – don't actually show WWE pay-per-views anymore because they got all spiteful when the network launched and took that business away from them. Mm. So it's tough to find a pay-per-view distributor that will even allow you to show the pay-per-view in a bar. But if you can find one in your hometown, find them, hit them up. As soon as they place the order to WWE for the pay-per-view provider, you are basically a WWE blast area. There's a nice logo they'll send you. They'll send you posters. You get it up and running and do it officially. I know it's a little bit more work, but I do encourage you to try to do it that way. If you are going to do a bar party, it drives me crazy to no end being in the content business, watching people rip things, take things, doing them the wrong way. So this is the way to do it, to be in WWE's good graces about it. They've never formally helped us promote any of these events, but, you know, maybe – after our big cool party here with Sean, things could change. So that's the way to do it. They are a WWE blast area. We do it the right way. The party is going to start at 4 o'clock. It'll start just before 4 o'clock with the kickoff party. We're going to have two rooms for the kickoff party. We got the front room where you can just hang out for free, watch the kickoff party with wrestling fans. Then we have our VIP kickoff party room, which is going to be in the back, which is the bigger room. Sean will be on stage. It's $50. We only have a couple of these tickets left, and you get two autographs from Sean. You get a photo with Sean. You also get access to the live podcast recording we're going to do at Duffy's, and you get a guaranteed seat for the main Royal Rumble. Now, we're only doing 100 of these tickets. We have not 100 left, that's for sure. But you'll have a guaranteed seat because once the actual Rumble starts, we're going to open up the big room. We're going to connect both rooms. People that came in for free can fill in what seats are left. Sean will have a live microphone at the front of the room. We're going to keep doing photos and autographs for anybody who showed up for free and still wants to get those. And Sean is going to be commenting on the Rumble all night long. And then at the end of the night, we will have a big to-do, a send-off. We'll probably get a couple thoughts from Sean. And that'll be it. That's the party. Go over to Eventbrite for your tickets. Again, it's Sean Waltman's official Chicago Royal Rumble viewing party. Get the VIP tickets. And you'll get the best experience possible for this big, cool event we're doing at Duffy's.
That sounds so cool.
It does.
I should have quoted you a higher rate.
And I'm glad you didn't, though, Sean, because if this is a home run, and I have a very good feeling this is going to be a home run, I am, you know, we've been talking, maybe taking this thing on the road. We could take Sean Waltman, we could do Sean Waltman's official Philadelphia Survivor Series party or wherever it is, exactly. You know, whatever the show may be.
That, yeah, I was just teasing about the higher rate. We got to keep things so everyone can make it, so there's a piece of the pie for everyone.
Yeah, just hearing.
Oh, by the
it,
way, I wanted jealous. To ask you on the air, can we keep your Sprint flight? Like, we don't want to change the flight.
You're talking about Spirit Airlines?
Spirit, is that the one? Is it Spirit? I don't fly it a lot, but can you keep that flight so we don't have to change it or no?
Ask my panel here.
Dude. Yeah, no.
As soon as we were done with the episode last week, he's looking through his phone. He's like, "Well, I might not be at that party."
All right, so the answer is a solid no. I figured I'd wait and ask on the show so everybody could get your genuine reaction to being asked if you could hold travel.
I prefer not to ride on the cattle car of airlines in the standing room only section.
It's like sitting in a plastic pool chair.
It's brutal. It's brutal. But anyways, you guys fixed that for me immediately, and I'm so grateful.
Yes, absolutely. Now, wait. Also, lastly, here, earlier you said you were trying to get a hold of Scott Norton. Is Scott Norton on this episode too, or are you just trying to talk to Scott?
Next week, we wouldn't be talking to you for so long if we had Scott on.
Well, I just wanted to say because I'm a big Scott Norton fan. I used to be the MC for the World Arm Wrestling League, which I fought very hard to try to get Scott to come back and take his arm wrestling championship. So I'm just happy to share some more space with Scott because I am a big fan of Norton there.
Actually, like Scott was going to, he said, I can come on today, but it'd be like 15 minutes at tops he could do. And I have so much to talk to Scott about because, you know, we're both Minnesota guys and, you know, all of that. And I know so much about Scott Norton.
Oh, totally. You should ask him about – really get into the arm wrestling thing,
oh,
right?
Oh, for sure.
When I was on the road with the arm wrestlers, I learned so much about arm wrestling, so, stuff that I would have probably never learned had I not been thrust in that environment. The hook, the top roll, the positioning.
Got to turn your hat backwards.
Yeah, you got to turn your hat backwards like Lincoln Hawk.
Yeah,
that's not part
of the
machine.
It is
part
of the machine.
You got to drink motor oil and you got to turn the hat backwards.
Yeah.
Do people always ask him if it's fake?
It's not fake. I watched a woman break her arm in half in an arm wrestling competition once. Like
live? You saw that live?
Dude, it was – they sent me out to this arm wrestling qualifier in this like small town in Indiana, kind of a divier place. Anyway, yeah, I'd been in the room like 5 minutes. This girl steps up and then like a dry 2x4 cracked over your knee, just like snapped. And it was everybody standing there. And then all the arm wrestlers are part of the competition have to get together and vote whether or not they are all mentally comfortable continuing to arm wrestle, having just watched that traumatic thing happen.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, that's good.
That's not a bad idea for those snowflakes.
I would not have called them that in this bar.
I'm just kidding. That was a joke, people. So, no, that's a really good idea, man, because like that's pretty traumatic to watch, like even on video.
Dude, it's rough. And, like, the way – because, like, the thing is, you know, people think of arm wrestlers, right, as these big – you know, you've seen over the top, you know, these big, strong, burly men and stuff. And there is a lot of that. But it in a lot of ways, it was kind of like being in a pro wrestling locker room where all the guys know that you kind of have – you've made a decision about them before even talking to them, right?
And
they're all – like, once you're cool and you're in that mix and they, like, accept you into that fraternity – some of the nicest people I've ever met in my entire life I met at the arm wrestling show. It's true. Very true. I love those guys. I'm sad I don't get to do it anymore.
Yeah. Were you a hell of an arm wrestler at one time yourself, Nick?
Sean, I have beat college friends in arm wrestling. I'm in pretty good shape, right? Like, I'm not in U shape. Like, I couldn't, like, shred a head of lettuce on my abs or anything like that. Right. But I'll throw down. And now that I know the techniques, the arm wrestling techniques, I'm like, I have actually thought about maybe going and find a little competition around here because I got that itch.
Sweet. Nick, hey, man, real quick before we go, is there any other stuff that we need to talk about? Plug?
No, social man, media? We just got to plug your butt.
Yeah.
Oh, so now you'll hold the towel. Okay.
Hey, man, thanks for coming on, Nick.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for having me so much, man. I'll chat with you very soon.
Okay, man. Thanks, have a good day, Nick. Thank you, Nick Houseman, everyone. Yeah. Cool.
That was awesome.
Hey, okay, so.
Sean, you know, this whole time we haven't noticed what episode number this episode is?
What? 69.
That's right. I noticed it. It's your number. It's your number.
How is it my number?
On the back of every like DX jersey.
Oh, that's true. And also, I'm a Cancer, and Cancer is the sig. Yeah, it's the sign. Yeah, yeah, it looks like 69. So
it's a special episode all around. Yeah,
it is, right?
Yeah, from top to bottom.
Yeah. Yeah. So, hey, Jimbo, what do we got like as far as appearances for me?
Before? Well, this Saturday, if you're in Huntington Park in California, come check Sean out at the Wrestling Guy Store from noon to 3. He'll be signing autographs and taking pictures. You can find out more at WrestlingGuyStore.com. Also, the WWE Royal Rumble Party on the 28th at Duffy's Bar and Grill. Go to Eventbrite to find out more about that. Rumor has it you'll be at the Raw 25th anniversary. We'll hopefully see you there. And do we want to mention that?
Oh, yeah. What was it? February
24th.
Yeah, I'll be in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, and I'll be speaking at Blueprints for Addiction Recoveries at Town Halls on Prevention of Addiction.
Breaking the cycle of addiction.
My bad.
No.
Yeah.
Do you know if those are going to be like available on YouTube later or whatever?
I hope so. Well, I'm going to make sure they're
available. Yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
Yeah. Just put a strap of GoPro to Lula and
yeah, man. Here's the thing: when I first was approached about doing that, I'm like, man, you know, am I really like, you know, like ready to be helping? And you know, those things can go through your mind. Am I at a place where I'm ready to start doing things like that? Mm-hmm. And here's the thing: like, if you're waiting till you think that you're at the right place to help somebody else, you may never actually end up helping anybody else, you know, like, the thing is like, I'm just going to go there and give them what I have to give. No more, no less.
Sure. Well, I would imagine at this point that you've probably counseled quite a few people
in my own way.
Given them advice and support on getting through addiction. Cause
yes,
there's a lot of people who look up to you, and there's a lot of people who've gone through the struggles that you've gone through.
Yeah.
And I've seen people come to you and tell you, you know, that your journey has meant a lot to them, and your struggles have helped them deal with their struggles. So you're not new to this.
Right. Yeah. And so like, I'm really honored. I'm really honored that I've been asked to do this. So, all right. Well,
should be awesome.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure next week we have Scott Flash Norton on the show. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
Fire.
Great.
I'm going to have Mark, we're going to have to, set aside a little time for that one.
Well, a little bit of extra time for you?
Yeah.
We'll do like a tight 3 hours.
So
sounds doable.
So anyways, hey, TK, what's going on before we get out of here? Any last minute words?
Just our social media stuff.
Yeah.
Follow me on Twitter at Jimbo in the Booth.
You guys can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at _ZinnySelfSato.
I'm everywhere on social media at Sundown Motel. Check out uparks.com with spandex.com. Today we had a new podcast go up with The Big Show, and we broke down Wrestle Kingdom 12. So since we didn't break it down here, you can go check out our breakdown.
It's like a week later, and I just figured everyone's already talked about it.
We already didn't talk about it. So.
And ATK, do you have any, are you trying to raise money for anything right now?
Birthday season.
No, birth season's coming up in a few months. But I'm actually raising money for water pumps in Africa. I'm running the LA Marathon in March 17th, I believe. They run 26.2 miles. So that's all in my byline at TK Trinidad. But you can follow us also on AfterBuzz TV. You can follow Sean on Twitter, The Real X-Pac, IG X-Pac12360, Facebook X-Pac12360 Show. Don't forget to sign up for our newsletter and all that good stuff.
And you were telling us that you just started using your own personal Instagram.
Thank you, Bill. Yes, my personal Instagram is at Real X-Pac without the. So... You know, somebody apparently figured they could use
the.
Yeah.
What a dick.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah. So follow that Instagram. I'm really trying to be mindful of posting stuff on there from now on.
Nice.
Anyway, all right, awesome. Everyone. We'll see you next week right here on AfterBuzz TV. Scott Norton's our guest.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Sean Waltman, producers Jimbo Frank and TK Trinidad, managing producer of AfterBuzz TV Wrestling Mark Donica, and the entire X-Pac12360 staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in. Like us on Facebook, rate and comment on iTunes and YouTube, follow X-Pac on Twitter at TheRealXPac, and email us at X-Pac12360Show@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the AfterBuzz TV Network. Buzz you later!